Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight we have Ben joining us again to continue the story of the Ox Monster, because where we left off last time was really only the start of the story, and Ben has so much more to this terrifying tale. So Ben, welcome back to the show, mate.
G'day, Kate. Yeah, great to talk to you again, mate.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure to have you back on, mate, because the Ox Monster is what we call it. And the Ox Monster deserves two episodes for what it's really contributed to your life. So last time you were on, we kind of ended the show with you almost essentially moving to two other parts of the country. And I guess that's probably where I'll leave it, because this is where this story really starts to go to another level for you. So, Ben, if you don't mind continuing on from there, that would be great.
Yeah, sure, Kate. So I suppose I ended up in Pukapunyal in Victoria, and was doing a training course, and I was there for three months or so, and I think you've actually had someone on before who's talked to you about Pukapunyal and ghosts in the barracks around there. So I was pretty busy, pretty hectic sort of thing, so, was tired all the time, stuff like that from the training, and so I suppose didn't really notice anything too things sort of following me, and just sort of put everything behind me and just thought, okay, that was a very strange experience in my life. I don't think I'll ever be able to work it out, but all right, let's move on. Then I end up in Darwin, and I'm in Darwin and got my own barracks room, so got my own bedroom. I share, there's four other guys, got four bedrooms, two sort of one lounge room, kitchenette, and bathroom sort of thing. But for all intents and purposes, my room is just me in there. And I started pretty early on, just started having lots of strange sort of things happening. So, at first, you just think, it's just noise of other people living around here and stuff like that. And then I sort of noticed that, it would be on nights where the guys might be staying at their girlfriends, or, people have moved out or gone on deployment or whatever. Sometimes, obviously, I knew I was the only person sort of in there. And then got to the stage where I could just feel this presence just coming, and I could feel, it was like I could feel it sort of coming down the sort of hallway towards our area, and then sort of could just feel this presence sort of at the door of my room, and you just get this insane feeling of just dread. And then basically I believe then I just started having these periods of sleep paralysis, where, you know, I would just be in the middle of the night, I'd get this insane feeling of dread, and then boom, I'd just be pinned to my bed, but my eyes would be wide open, and I just had this horrible feeling of just fear and evil and darkness sort of around me. And that just kept going on. And I sort of started putting, I put two and two together pretty quickly that, hey, I reckon this is that thing. This is what sort of followed me. And yeah, I started, you know, what do I do? I'm just a young soldier and it's not really anything I can go talk to my mates about, or, you know, there's no one I can sort of go see and go, hey, can you give me a bit of advice how I deal with this? Because, you know, people think you're crazy and make fun of you, sort of stuff like that. So I just sort of, I suppose, suffering in silence. And that sort of led me to trying to find out what the hell's going on, you know, how do I protect myself from this? And I ended up in a bookshop. I was reading, like, and, you know, books about sort of psychic protection and stuff like that, because, you know, I was at a stage where I was like, I have a dark entity attached to me. What can I do to get rid of it? And this sort of culminated one night where I'd sort of like, just, I've had enough of this thing, I've got to stand up to it and I've got to fight back. And that night, I felt it come, I felt it outside my door, and then I felt it enter my room. So for a while, it just used to seem like it was at my door, and wasn't actually in my room. And then it started getting to the period where, like, it started, I could feel it in my room, and this was now happening every single night. So I was going to work completely fatigued because I wasn't sleeping at all at night, you know, and getting a couple of hours sleep because I basically be awake, wide awake, you know, from midnight or something, you know, through till the sunrise. And being in the army, when the sunrise, you know, you get up early, you're off doing PT, you know, 6:15 in the morning sort of thing. So it wasn't much time for me to sleep. Anyway, I decided, right, I've got to stand up to this thing. I've got to, you know, be strong. And I fell into my room, and I used all the energy and all the strength and stuff I had in me to break, you know, this being pinned to the bed sort of feeling. And there was this black figure at the end of my bed. It was just this big, big shape. Like, I didn't notice any features or anything like that. It was just this big sort of black mass. And I jumped up to kick it and do this big roundhouse kick. And, of course, there's not actually anything there, and my foot goes through it, and then I ended up smashing louvers in my window. And yeah, anyway, that morning, I you know, as soon as I'm up, gone done the PT for the morning, PT physical training, gone back, had a shower, got dressed, and then called my mate who had all the experiences with me previously. And I'm like, hey, dude, guess what happened to me last night? And then he's gone, nah, man, guess what happened to me last night? So he tells me that he's in Townsville on Darwin, and he thought that like all the guys in his barracks, you know, must have been out having beers all night and having a bit of a party, and they'd come back and broke into his room and flicked him out of his bed. And that's what he initially thought, but then he went and checked after he was flipped out of his bed with his mattress on top of him. He goes and checks his door, and his door was locked from the inside, so there's no way anyone could get in. So we both had these crazy experience over the same night on two separate parts of the country. And later on after that, yeah, we find out, I found out someone rang me, or one of my mates told me that, hey, guess what? The army burnt down Oxley House. They got rid of it. Yeah, and it turned out it looked like it was that night. And it was like this last, like, it gave us this last big, you know, hurrah of psychic energy or something like that. I don't know. It was bizarre. And so that was sort of, yeah, like the last sort of big physical sort of thing. But from there, I saw an ad on TV and said there was a psychic experiment here. And, you know, I've got nothing to lose. So I walked into this psychic expo that weekend, and there's different people at their little booths. And I walk up to this lady because she sort of made eye contact with me as I walked in. And she tells me that as I walked in, she saw then behind me a Maori warrior, and then behind that this big black dark entity. And it was like the warrior was standing between me and it, and it was sort of like protecting me from it. And I mean, as you can hear from my voice, I don't have a big Kiwi accent or anything like that, but my heritage is on my mother's side is Maori. So that was interesting. You know, she'd put that together without sort of anything jumping out to say, "Hey, I'm a Kiwi," sort of thing like that. So that sort of gave me a bit more belief in her powers and her sort of ability. She said, "Yeah, look, there's this entity, and it just follows you around." And she started sort of telling me story, you know, telling me or information sort of about it. You know, this thing's very old. It's very sort of evil. It's brooding and really, really hates you. But you are protected. Basically, I've got to acknowledge my protection. And sort of, you know, build strength off that. And that then sent me down the path of finding out more about my ancestry and my sort of family's background. And now it's resulted in me having a tumble crew that, you know, covers my right pectoral and then down my right arm, sort of as acknowledgement to my past or my bloodline, I suppose, and sort of the protection it sort of gives me. So sort of, yeah, I started becoming stronger and stronger from that. And that sort of ended up, was then not visited as often sort of by the Ox Monster, as we call it. I would continually hear, you know, bumps in the night, sort of things like that, but I wasn't getting that pinning to the bed anymore. I wasn't having that insane feeling of dread, or it would come on, but then I'd be able to go, okay, here we go, and just stand there and sort of, you know, tell it, look, I'm not afraid of you anymore. You know, you don't have power over me anymore, you know, and tell it to leave. And on the same side as acknowledging that Maori side of me, I also became, I suppose, a bit more stronger with my Catholic faith, and would just, you know, just start repeating the Lord's Prayer. And then, you know, after half an hour or an hour of feeling it sort of come, it would then leave, and, you know, the room I'd be in or whatever would then have a feeling of sort of calmness come back over it. So, I just couldn't, you know, you see in movies and stuff, you know, they say that, you know, the exorcisms and all that sort of stuff, and they do those rites and rituals and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, the Lord's Prayer then gave me a real lot of sort of power, and I was able to tell it no. And after doing that and doing that and doing that, and we're talking now like, you know, a 1-3 year sort of period, then eventually it just sort of stopped. But it would come in waves, and then I wouldn't have anything for a month or two or three, and then it would come back for a little while sort of thing, and I'd just have to really sort of stand my ground and tell it I'm not scared of it.
So this thing attached itself to you for that long?
Yeah. So whenever, it's really good that I'm able to tell this story now because I'm not getting goosebumps all over me. But whenever I used to like tell this story to people, I would be covered in goosebumps. You'd feel it, and the people I was telling the story would like be like, "Oh man, oh, I've got cold shivers everywhere," sort of thing. Like, it really, like, people could feel it. Like, it still had quite a lot of, I suppose, just speaking about it at the time used to, I think, used to sort of give it power. So, yeah, it took me a long time to sort of feel comfortable enough to say to do something like I'm doing with you now, you know, because 10 years ago or something, there's no way I'd be able to, like, you know, sort of publicly tell this story, because I'd still, oh, you know, is he going to come back?
Do you ever get that worry that it will come back? Because, you know, this thing, it not only followed you, but it followed your friend almost on completely different sides of the country.
Yeah, so my mate actually, when I told him that I was doing this, he's like, oh, dude, nah, you shouldn't do that. Bloody Ox Monster's going to be really pissed off at you. But nah, look, I feel strong enough now and that I, like, it can't come in. It can't come into my house. It can't come around me or my family. I think we're pretty strong and sort of believe, you know, I've matured as a sort of person. Like, I have that power to be able to tell it no, and it has to obey me. Like, it can't give me that fear and have that hold over me that it did when I, you know, was a late teenager, young 20-year-old type guy. And one thing I did notice, like, is once I got married, so as of my, I suppose, when you look at it, once I became more successful in life and more grounded, it had less and less and less power. And then once I actually went through the sacrament of marriage, like, it just stopped then. And it sort of couldn't get me. But leading up to that, I started having, like, it started coming back, and I went through a stage for about probably 2 or 3 months where, like, and my wife and I were just sort of living together, where I could feel it, like, come to our house, and I'd have to, like, you know, and obviously I told her about the sort of story, and I'd be like, oh, he's here, I can feel it. And then I'd have to just sort of stand around and sort of just tell it, no, you are not welcome, you cannot come in here, and just, yeah, say Lord's Prayer until it went. And strangely enough, I'd met this guy. It was really weird. We were talking about, I don't know if you remember that TV show, Most Haunted.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're talking about that. And from that, I ended up telling the Ox Monster story of this guy. And he was telling me, oh, my wife's a psychic. And I'm like, oh, okay, yep, cool. And we ended up, you know, sort of having, because obviously his wife sort of being psychic, he was, you know, interested and, like, open to talking about supernatural type stuff. And he said, oh, you'll have to come and meet her. And so I went out, I went to meet her and him. I went to their house. And it's really weird because when I got there, his wife, so this is sort of a sidetrack thing, but it kind of does tie in. His wife's like, oh, last night I had a gentleman standing out front of the door. You know, he stood there on the doorstep for a couple of hours, and she described him to a T, and it was my grandfather, 100% to a T. And anyway, it ends up each time I'd come to see them, she'd know I was going to come the day before because my grandfather would turn up there. Yeah, that's sort of a bit of a side note, but she ends up telling me about the Ox Monster and telling me what it is, and she did a drawing of the Maori warrior. So I hadn't sort of told her those sorts of bits. She did a drawing of the Maori warrior, and his, like, facial expressions and stuff like that looked heaps like one of my uncles, which was pretty crazy. And then she explained, yeah, he stands between you and the black mass. And then, yeah, she explained the Ox Monster is a black mass, but then decided telling me this backstory of him and what he'd, sort of why he was where he was and what he was. So it turns out he's, like, from this lady that he was a really nasty individual in the 1800s or something, and he used to get paid by the, I suppose, back then, you know, the army police type thing to go out and, you know, kill or hunt Aboriginal people, keep them away from the settlements and stuff like that. Just unfortunately, we do have a very dark sort of history, and especially in a place like Tasmania. where this sort of stuff had happened, and that's sort of what this person was when they were a person, and they she described these horrible things he'd do to people and then do to animals and sort of stuff like that, and so he died as a very dark, evil sort of person, and then just sort of stayed in that area, just basically brooding in anger and hate and darkness, and just sort of, I suppose, just sitting there. And then I suppose me and my mate sort of went in there and just stirred up all hell, and really, really pissed it off.
I have to ask, like, does your mate still get affected by this? By this entity, by any chance? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I don't think, like, in the physical sort of way, like that incident where he got thrown out of the bed and I went to kick it sort of thing. But he has had, I think, like, yeah, he has gone through those periods where you can feel it sort of affect turning up or trying to come to your house or into your house sort of thing. So, like, I think that went on for quite a few years as well with him. He was always, I think from the get-go, he was more stand your ground against it sort of thing, whereas I was very, very petrified and, you know, just in complete fear of it. So I think it affected us both in sort of different ways, but now we sort of, you know, both are in that sort of position where we've sort of been able to be stronger than it and to sort of tell it no. But yeah, like he had like lots of things happen to him throughout his life, but more like I suppose just that feeling of knowing it's around. And then obviously he had that physical reaction, which we talked about in the last episode, where he was telling a priest about what happened and then could see the, you know, the hand marks around his throat and stuff like that. And he actually ended up coming and living with me up in Darwin a few years ago now. But, like, yeah, we've sat there together and, you know, been having a couple of beers and talking about it, and sort of, you know, we're able to sort of joke about it. Whereas, you know, a few years before that, there's, you know, we wouldn't be able to joke about it. It was very much, you know, very raw and real to us. But yeah, I think both of us, as we sort of got older, sort of became stronger, and were basically, you know, able to control it by just not giving in to the fear of it. I mean, it definitely seems to have sort of fed off or got powerful from our fear.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to say it was like feeding on a weak point in your life, but it seemed to be able to attach itself to, I don't know, a certain set of circumstances, or I guess a situation that maybe wasn't fulfilled in your life.
I suppose when you look at, like, you know, this stuff sort of all really happened around, you know, that when, you know, I'm 18, 19, sort of through to my, you know, early sort of mid-20s sort of thing. And at the time you think you're all growing up and think you know everything, but you don't. And, you know, taken me quite a while sort of to, I suppose, acknowledge that it was real. But then once you do that, it's like, oh, if this is real, that's really scary. But then actually realize, hey, I can actually, I am powerful. I can tell it no. I can make it so it doesn't control my life. But for, you know, for quite a while, yeah, I just sort of, it just wanted to keep me scared. And it really took a lot of, I suppose, soul searching and stuff like to work out how to deal with it, because you know it's something you can't really normally talk about, and sort of then realize, okay, well, I'm going to have to, if I want this out of my life, I'm going to have to do something about it. And that meant sort of really standing up to it at first, you know, being too scared to stand up to it because you don't want to make it more angry, and then realizing, okay, well, I have to stand up to it. And then, yeah, I've got to keep myself sort of strong, and, you know, really, you know, I'm the only one that's going to be able to stop this.
What was your reaction when you went to that psychic expo and the psychic told you there's a dark entity following you that hates you? That's yeah. Pretty personal.
Yeah, it was. But at the same time, it was kind of like confirmation. As in, like, hey, I'm not just nuts, you know, like, I'm not imagining all this. Like, there is something really that is there. And then I suppose at the same time, it made me realize, okay, well, you did actually know this yourself. So, you know, if you can know that, then, you know, there must be, you can do something about it, sort of thing. And I suppose when she told me about the Maori warrior, sort of protecting me from it, that gave me a really good sense, a strong sense of, kind of support, you know, and gave me strength to sort of go, okay, well, yes, I am going to fix this myself, but at the same time, I'm not doing it by myself. You know, that there's obviously someone looking out for me, and, you know, that they're obviously pretty powerful if they're here. So, you know, sort of made me feel like, hey, this isn't just me against like the deep dark evil. I've got some sort of good, you know, something positive or something that's not negative that's here to help me.
What do you think it was that helped you? Because you kind of said that you know you looked more into your faith and not just your own faith, like multiple faiths. And do you think that was something that helped you in this situation? Do you think asking for that external help was something that helped you here?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. It gave me something to sort of look to. It gave me something to make you feel like you're not on doing it by yourself. And then basically made me learn more about my actual self. You know, the things like I knew what were there, but I didn't really know much about them. And being a young guy, you know, I wasn't that sort of interested. You know, I was more interested in girls and, you know, going nightclubbing and stuff like that at the time. But this actually made me have a bit more of a in-depth look at myself and even, you know, at the world in whole. And I believe, you know, that helped make me a better person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that is a paradigm-changing event, and to be so young to kind of have to go through that on your own, you know, that's a pretty scary thing.
Yeah, I suppose like you know, all your normal support network isn't around you. You know, my family's all on the other side of the country. It's really just me, and yeah, the guys that I'm with, you know, even if they are my really good mates, sort of thing, it's something that's like, it's almost taboo, you know, especially in like a job like the military, you know, like to talk about that stuff, you know, that's just all wishy-washy hippie fairy crap, like, you know, tough guys don't talk about that sort of stuff. So you sort of, yeah, you had to really sort of internalize it. And I suppose at the time, especially, you know, when I'm living in a barracks room sort of by myself, going through all that, like, and then just not actually having anyone I could sort of just straight out level with and bounce ideas off, like, it really made me learn to, yeah, look at myself and, I suppose more resilient and sort of have more faith in my own ability.
How did your partner react to you talking to her about this type of thing, and I guess then her having to, you know, potentially live with this in her life?
Yeah, so it was definitely wasn't one of the first things that you tell someone about when you're trying to court them. I think, you know, we both used to, like, we're sort of, you know, on Saturdays we'd have our sort of Saturday date night and we'd watch all those sort of, Most Haunted and Derek Corey. I think I used to have it on the Fox Jelly, so the Psychic Saturday. So she was open to, she wasn't like really into that stuff, but she was open to it. And so sooner or later, you know, I started telling her that story and, you know, a couple of my other ones, and she didn't shoot me down, and she's still been married to me for the last 14 years. So it didn't scare her off too much. But I think at first it was just, okay, that's a cool story, I guess. And then once things sort of started, you know, happening around our house, and the fact like we would be there and she could feel it, like she didn't see it or anything like that, but she could feel what I had told her about. And then I'd be like, yeah, I think he's here, and she would feel it as well. So that was, I'm sorry that she had to experience that, but I guess at the same time was kind of nice. I was like, oh, at least now I'm not doing it by myself.
It would be something that would be so difficult to kind of get on board with. And I would imagine she would feel quite helpless in the whole situation too. Like she would really only be emotional support like this. It's not a problem that she could fix or anything like that. I would imagine it's quite a interesting situation to be in as a partner.
Yeah, no, she definitely could feel it and stuff like that. And then we started changing stuff, like, you know, house would be like, okay, well, you know, when you're sort of younger and stuff, you watch scary movies together, you know, on the couch, you know, horror movies and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, we sort of started like, oh, we don't watch horror movies anymore, you know, stuff like that. You know, trying to keep sort of negative stuff. Sorry. Excuse me for a second. we tried to sort of keep negative stuff sort of out of the house like that. And I think the one that came up, the idea about, oh, let's not watch horror movies, you know, they're not good. That sort of happened. I remember someone gave me a book, not like a super dark evil, it was just like a novel, but it was surprising. I have no idea because I've never read it, stuff like that. I just read books about war. But I got given this book and I was reading it, and then she's just like, I don't want you to have this book in the house, get, you know, and I had to go leave it outside and then go take it back. Because she's just like, she could feel the energy of that book was attracting the ox monsters will come back. So I think she actually tweaked onto stuff like that, like a little bit quicker than I did.
It's really good to get almost that third party or that third person point of view when it comes to situations like this, because being so attached to it for so long, you would almost go into most situations with blinders on, I would imagine.
Yeah, like, and even though, like, you know, going through this and telling this story, like, and, you know, to some people listening to this, they're like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. How could you, you know, put up with that or whatever? But you kind of actually become numb to it a bit. And it's just almost like, to a degree, it happened so much that it actually just became part of normal life. You know, like, oh, he's here again. Okay, great. Now I'm going to have to stand my ground. I'm going to have to command it to leave. You know, I'm going to say my Lord's Prayer until it stops, until I can't feel it around anymore. And, like, even though that at the time you are scared, At the same time, you're kind of like, oh, okay, here we go again. And, yeah, I think I'd almost sort of become blasé to it, whereas for her, it was still kind of quite new, you know, having those feelings of dread and stuff. And, you know, so she, I think she was a bit more in tune and because she was experiencing it, it was more noticeable to her than me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. So do you ever worry that the ox monster will return?
No. I don't now. Maybe like the last couple of years I haven't, but because enough time has passed and like I can really put the line in the sand was the day we went through and had a Catholic wedding in a Catholic church and took the sacrament of marriage, it's like it stopped. And, you know, I was always wondering, you know, will it come back sort of thing? But it hasn't. And I can really put the line in the sand as like just before that is the last time I fully, you know, experienced it at my home and stuff like that. I think, you know, I've definitely come across some evil things later on that I don't think are related to the ox monster as such. But, yeah, sort of nothing sort of been able to sort of penetrate my home and my family since then.
Yeah, and I think mindset is a really strong contributor to how much of the paranormal really can affect you. And,
yeah,
you know, from talking to you, you know, it seems to me quite obvious that you have a good hold over your situation, which I think a lot of people would love to be able to be in that position, because there's people who experience this stuff and are just completely helpless. They can't do anything about it.
Oh, man, look, that's 100% how I was. Definitely, like, so I can completely empathize and understand how people feel in that those sorts of situations. But, yeah, I got to the stage where I was like, I'm the only one that can help me, you know, stop this. And, yeah, it didn't just happen overnight. I couldn't just stop it like that. It took time. It took, you know, soul searching. It took... really, yeah, you know, facing my fear. And yeah, since once I did that, then I was able to start getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So now tonight, if I felt it come to my home, I reckon I'd be able to have it out and gone, you know, after 5 minutes. Whereas, you know, a decade ago or something, you know, could might have taken me, you know, 2 or 3 hours type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think this whole situation has made you more equipped for life in general?
Yeah, so after the army, I became a police officer. And being a cop, you meet lots and lots of people. You deal with death in all of its different sort of forms and stuff like that. And I can say that, you know, probably half a dozen or a dozen times I've come across people that are like not just bad, but actually have sort of evil in them. And it would be so noticeable that, like say there's two cops and we're dealing with the one bad guy. They'll just zero in on me. And like, you can just see they just hate me straight away. Even if I haven't said a word, and it's like, we just look at each other and we just got like this knowing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, dude, you know, I'm sort of like looking at him, sort of giving him like, yeah, I can see you too. And, you know, they're also looking at me going, I can see you sort of thing. Right. And not just in the I hate cops type thing. It's like, you know, you can see this burning sort of resentment and anger. And I think because of what I'd sort of dealt with, it made me sort of be able to sort of stand my ground with those sorts of people or what's attached to them. And then sort of keep it away from following me home, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense to me, because it's kind of like you now have this untold connection to to that world. And whenever you encounter it, your sixth sense will just kick in and you will be so, so ready for whatever that situation may arise. It's you have this unfair advantage, basically.
To a degree. And I suppose it's made life a lot easier being able to sort of read people. Something that you about conscious and stuff like that. Like actually being able to really trust my gut instinct and know that it will actually help sort of guide me through sort of situations. So, it's hundreds and hundreds of times sort of thing. But it's easier to deal with some of the nasty stuff you sort of see. And at the same time, you get to see the goodness, the real goodness out of people, and sort of really build on that so you don't just dwell on the darkness.
Your tale, I feel like it's just so powerful, and the way that you've evolved throughout the entire experience that you've had throughout your whole life, I think it shows so much of your character, and it just shows the bravery that you've had to have in each of these situations, and those real proactive steps that you took to basically better yourself and better the situation from almost the get-go.
Thanks very much, mate. That's very kind of you. But I definitely started it all as a scared little boy. I was just so petrified, and I suppose it did sort of help mold me into who I am today. Definitely not without my flaws and stuff like that, but it's definitely helped to make me sort of stronger and more resilient, and even a bit more understanding, maybe, and compassionate with people and understanding what people sort of do go through. Because I think there's probably a lot of people that have incidents like that, that do just sort of suffer in silence. And, I hope maybe getting this story out there, even though I'm sure hopefully no one else has really had to meet the Ox Monster, people who've had something sort of similar, hopefully it can give them a bit of hope and maybe get them to start looking in at what they can do and build their strength.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.